Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join us in our mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome back to the Amplify Your Process Safety podcast. I'm Rob Bartlett, and today I am joined by Molly and Joe. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
So today, our focus for the podcast is on two things, really. First off, we're going to have an incident recap for incidents that occurred in this year, 2023, and then we're going to end the podcast, and we're going to end the year here for the podcast by talking about some New Year's resolutions for an incident-free 2024. When you're manufacturing, you get to the end of the year, you've had so many recordable injuries or whatever, it's always like, okay, we wipe the slate clean for January 1st, and our goal is to have no injuries next year. So kind of similar here, right? We're going to start off, what are our New Year's resolutions? What can we do to hopefully have an incident-free 2024? So to start off with, we are going to talk about what happened in the previous year in 2023, kind of by the numbers. And Molly, I'm going to hand it off to you.
Yeah, so the Chemical Safety Board, the CSB, does a great job of incident investigations, but they also have an accidental release reporting rule where companies report releases to them. And periodically, they publish a listing of those events. It's very brief, but it does list an incident date, companies, locations, and whether the incident included fatalities, serious injuries, or substantial property damage. Now, these are just counts. It doesn't tell you whether any individual fatal incident had one fatality or multiple fatalities, but it is a kind of a good benchmark to see how things are going. And with that, their latest report covers through the end of September 2023. So far this year, they've recorded 91 incidents. Of those, 13 were fatal incidents, 46 included serious injuries, and 46 included substantial property damage. So that's not great, unfortunately. And when you compare to the data that they have in their records for 2022, the trend is not encouraging, unfortunately. For 2022, for the entire year, they recorded 8 fatal incidents. And so far in 2023, they're up to 13.
And that was just through September. Right.
Correct. So three quarters of the year, they've already far exceeded the number of fatal incidents that they had reported in 2022. So 2023, unfortunately, was not a good year by the numbers from a process safety standpoint.
So that's kind of at a high level with some of the statistics from the CSB. We've also been tracking throughout the year various smaller incidents that CSB did not go investigate, they did not issue reports on, and we kind of tracked that through the year. And in looking at those, you know, whenever CSB comes out with a report, we do our incident review, of course, but also, you know, there's a lot of information available for those sorts of incidents that CSB does investigate. However, for some of these other ones, and would you say 91 events up through September, you know, the vast majority of those, CSB is not showing up at the door to figure out what happened. So details tend to be kind of sparse, but we did kind of keep track and we did kind of look through those in preparing for this, for the podcast. And there are a few issues that we saw, trends or specific incidents that we thought it might be interesting to discuss here, kind of in a roundtable format, to kind of bring some highlight to those incidents that were significant but may not have risen to having CSB arrive to do an investigation. So Molly, I think you wanted to start off with that one.
Yeah, one thing that I found interesting. from looking at the incidents, and this one was noted in the CSB summary, was a Marathon Petroleum Galveston Bay refinery had an incident back in May of 2023. They had an explosion, and it included a fatality and a couple of injuries. It made the local news. We saw it there in addition to the CSB reports. But what I found interesting is that the name changed, but it's actually a refinery that many people will probably be familiar with if we reference it by a different name that it used to go by.
What name would that be, Molly?
That would be BP Texas City Refinery that had
BP Texas City. I've heard of that facility.
Exactly. Back in 2005, they had a very significant process safety incident where they had explosion, vapor cloud explosion, and had 15 fatalities and injured like 180 people at the same facility. It goes by a different name now, but it is the same facility. So they continue, unfortunately, to have issues from a process safety standpoint. And also, just made the news recently, we're recording this in late December, so mid-December of 2023, that same facility also had a release that resulted in a shelter-in-place order for some of their local residents. So one thing to keep in mind is that, unfortunately, sometimes the same facilities have repeat process safety incidents. And so you really need to focus on learning from past mistakes so that you don't have to keep repeating them, especially at the same facilities.
While at the same facilities, without a doubt, and also the rest of us need to learn from their mistakes so that mm-hmm. we don't have those things happen at our facilities. Okay, so that was one of the interesting things that we found going through that data. Another one that I wanted to just talk about for a couple of minutes was talk about the types of industries and the types of materials that were involved. And what struck me as I was kind of going through this list was just how many different industries, how many different materials, how many different companies are having these really significant. I mean, if you've got an incident that has either fatalities or serious injuries to kind of to make it on our list, that's a big deal. And just the breadth of industries and materials that were involved in, and a couple of them stood out to me, especially there was one related to a candy factory. As it turns out, it appears, at least, you know, CSB didn't investigate, so we don't have a good investigation, but it appears as though maybe that was a natural gas leak, but leveled the candy factory. Also, we had a grain silo, which had a combustible dust explosion. We had oil and gas, chemicals, hazardous waste treatment facilities, all sorts of stuff. So it's not like there's one industry that does a particularly good job with this. We're having these incidents with all different industries. And, you know, interestingly, you know, we've been doing process safety now for 30 plus years, yep. for at least since the PSM standard was promulgated. And, you know, we've got newer technologies. So, you know, mm-hmm. we've got new technologies versus maybe older technologies, but the hazards in them are still the same. And obviously, we're not doing a terrific job improving the way that we manage those hazards as we move from older technologies to newer technologies. And also, I don't know this for sure, but it seemed like a good place to mention this is you've got newer facilities versus older facilities. And if you look at the U.S. manufacturing base and the mm-hmm. the factories, the average age of those factories, it's getting up there. And we all know that if you don't maintain your equipment, then over time, eventually you're really going to start having more releases of hazardous materials, which then lead to shelters in place or vapor cloud explosions or, you know, any number of bad things that can happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though we have newer facilities, so you've got older facilities that may be kind of breaking down over time, but then newer facilities, they still need to be set up so that mm-hmm. we can prevent these releases from happening, or if they happen, mitigate them before they get out of hand and cause fatalities or anything worse. So right. Yeah, so that was kind of what one of the things that struck me as I was looking through that list.
Yeah, how about you, Joe?
Right, so I'm based in the Houston area, so I am no stranger to all of the industry that takes place here. And unfortunately, a lot of the kind of not as good things that go along with it, like shelter in place, evacuations, things like that. And so it was really interesting to me when we monitored what was going on this year in process safety incidents across the globe. You know, it's really not just the U.S. that is struggling with this. And so when we talk about what you were mentioning, Molly, the CSB accidental release, those are, of course, all going to be domestic because that's what the CSB is concerned with. But when we monitored some other events happening this year in industries that dealt with explosions and fires and things like that, you know, we were seeing other countries struggling with these as well. So we've got a couple events that happened in China this year at chemical plants, and they were fatal and dealt with massive explosions. We also saw an event that happened in Australia at a recycling facility, and that dealt with a gas explosion dealing with the shredding of aerosol cans. Thankfully, no fatalities there, but we did have quite a few injuries. And then we also saw internationally in Mexico dealing with refining. We saw that there was a huge fire at a refinery, and that also had some fatalities and injuries, and even some people unaccounted for at the time of the initial reporting. So this is something that industries across the globe are struggling with. It's not just people here. And again, what we were really kind of keeping a pulse on was what was going on that dealt with fires and explosions. And it's just kind of mind-boggling how many hits you get from a search engine and the news just based on that criteria. There were just so many explosions that happened this year, like Rob mentioned, across different types of industries. Some of them were really kind of interesting, just in the regard that it's not necessarily something that you would think about being hazardous. One of them that was kind of interesting was in January in Kentucky at a chemical plant. There was a vacuum waste truck that was just loading waste, and there was organic fat that was contaminated, and it resulted in a reaction within the truck. And so the truck exploded. So that was something that was just really interesting, kind of outside the scope of some of these chemical plant issues and refining issues that we usually see and talk about. So just all sorts of hazards across multiple industries. And so we wanted to take the time today to kind of say that, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. And there's just, it's worth mentioning that just because PSM has been around for a while, and just because we've dealt with these industries worldwide for a while, doesn't mean that we're experts at keeping them all fatality-free and injury-free. So just something to think about as we head into the new year, that there's definitely room for improvement across the globe in any of these industries that handle highly hazardous materials.
Yeah. So in my neck of the woods, I live in Southern Maine, and I'm very close, as those of you who are in the U.S. anyway will know, very close to Massachusetts, live about 90 miles north of Boston. And we had an incident there in a small town called Newburyport that happened this year. And it really points to a troubling pattern that we come across when we talk about these incidents. Molly, you talked a little bit about it with the marathon / BP Texas City facility, where you have a facility that has a history of bad things happening that, you know, have another one. And the incident I'm talking about happened at a company called Sequence, which, as I said, is down in Newburyport, Mass. And they had a vessel which actually got blown out of the building. I think it went up like 250 feet or something like that, and ended up landing in an adjacent parking lot. Now, that's tough to do. And so obviously there were a number of things that went wrong there. I wasn't able to find anything related to what was the final, you know, the final cause, root causes of that. But what interested me and what I wanted to mention here was that this company had a history of near misses and past incidents. And they, as recently as 2020 or 2021, they had a couple of fires. And in fact, I was called, I don't remember if it was when as part of Amplify, or it may have been before that, I can't remember, but I was called by another consulting firm who needed some assistance with process safety and process safety management, because this facility had some sort of an incident, and they were being told by, I don't know who, the fire marshal, OSHA, somebody, hey, you need to have a process safety program in place. I never heard back. I think I had an initial call with them, or maybe an initial call with that other consulting firm, but I never heard back. And then, you know, middle of this year, I hear of this incident, and it's I'm like, wait, that sounds familiar. And I go back into my email and I find all that conversation. And so I remember when I used to work in plants, and we would talk about the injury pyramid, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got the base of the pyramid, you know, is your near misses, right? And then the next layer up, a little smaller, is your first aids, then your medical treatment, then your like lost time serious injuries. And then at the top of that was your fatalities. And the whole idea was if you address the issues down below when they're at the level of near misses or first aids, that things don't get up that high. And mm-hmm. I don't know this facility. I don't know these people at all, but I would question whether or not they had that same sort of focus. So if you're at a plant and you've had near misses, you've had small releases that had fires, or you had, you know, small, you know, dust flash fires that weren't big enough to cause to cause any sort of injury or significant damage, but you can envision how it could end up being catastrophic. Just please, you know, learn from the failures of these other folks of Marathon, learn from the failures at this sequence facility, and spend the time to do a PHA to make sure you're doing your MOCs. You know, I don't know if that facility ever got a PSM program set up, but obviously, you know, even if they did, they were not managing everything properly. So
I think that's a pretty good summary of 2023 is almost done and we've got some improvements to make.
Definitely got some improvements. So on that track, Molly, why don't we talk about Amplify Process Safety's New Year's resolutions for an incident-free 2020. So why don't you start us off?
2024.
I'm sorry, 2024. Oh my gosh. I'm back.
I don't want to go back to 2020. Want to repeat that year. Yeah.
No, that is definitely true. Yeah. So 2024, thank you.
Yeah. So first off, we just want to emphasize to everyone that we really need to make process safety a priority. I know many companies have programs to monitor personnel safety and recordable incident rates and all that sort of thing. And it's easy to improve what you're measuring. It's a little bit harder to quantify and measure these process safety incidents because they are the catastrophic problems, like you said, at the very top of that pyramid. And you may not ever see one of these at your facility. So that's why the process safety programs, the management systems that are involved with a PSM or EPA's RMP, risk management plan program, are very important. So you need to make it a priority. You need to ensure that you have a strong process safety culture, and everybody needs to be working together to make all of the different elements of your process safety program work together to prevent these incidents. Learn from your near misses, anything that might have resulted in a catastrophic incident. Take advantage of that, utilize those learnings, and make process safety a management priority top to bottom throughout the company to try and have a incident-free 2024.
That sounds like a great resolution to start off with. Joe, what's your resolution for 2024?
Yeah, so kind of on that note, just understand that process safety is never done. So just because you brought in a consultant X amount of years ago and the end product was that you got a manual, well, it's not really that simple. That'd be great. But yeah, it's an ongoing thing. You have to make sure that you are keeping up to date on everything that requires any sort of like refresher or renewal thing. And we'll get into some more specifics. And we do talk about them quite a bit. So there are things that you have to do on a set frequency, but there's also just things that you need to do all the time to ensure that you're not operating without a respect for the hazards that you've got at your facility. So just understand process safety is never done. Like Molly said, it needs to be a priority and it should stay a priority. So that culture that she mentioned is just really important. So make sure you understand everything that goes into keeping your program up and running all the time and make sure that doesn't slip as a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I first came into industry and everybody was putting ISO 9000 programs in place. And, you know, the whole focus was on continuous improvement, right? And, you know, we really need to take that same mentality for PSM. And I, unfortunately, our experience, as you say, Joe, our experience is that, oh, we have a PSM manual, here you go, but they're not actually doing the thing. So it's dotting I's, it's crossing T's, and it's understanding that you're never done. Okay, so right. Understanding that process safety is never done, that's a fantastic resolution. So the one that I wanted to throw out here was that Dr. Trevor Kletz, who, for those of you who don't know him, is kind of one of the godfathers of process safety. And he wrote a bunch of books and had some very quotable lessons for us. And one of them was, what you don't have can't leak. And so always consider inherently safer process concepts. Mm-hmm. So if there's any way that you can reduce the quantity of a hazardous material, the less you have, the less it can impact. If there's anything you can do to keep the temperatures and the pressures of a process low, if it gets out, the less it's going to explode, the less it's going to kill people. So always when you're making, certainly when you're designing new production processes or when you're operating and continually improving your processes, you know, from a quality standpoint and all that, also consider, could we make do with less of this hazardous mm-hmm. material? And that may include going to your purchasing people and saying, do we actually have to get rail car loads worth of chlorine or anhydrous ammonia? And maybe the answer is yes, but if the answer is no, boy, maybe, you know, yes, it might cost us a little bit more per pound to get the material, but from a hazard standpoint, you significantly reduce the hazards related to any sort of releases. So mm-hmm. always consider inherently safer process concepts. Molly?
Yeah, and what I'd encourage people to do as we're getting into more specifics is have a very robust management of change or MOC program. I always like to say that the MOC process is kind of the glue that holds the whole process safety management system together. And it makes sure that it is evergreen, that your information and your operating procedures are all up to date and your training is complete. And so it ties into just about every other element. So one of the key cornerstones of your PSM program is a very robust management of change program. So if you're wanting to focus on a particular element, that's the one I would recommend for 2024 moving forward.
That's a good one to point out. And
I like that one.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, it's the glue. So if you're doing a good job at your MOCs, then your PSI is going to benefit from mm-hmm. that. You're going to make sure that any changes you make, you've considered all the hazards that are associated with it. So the next one that we've got for a 2024 resolution is to keep current on your PHAs and compliance audits. So PHAs are on a 5-year cycle, depending on how larger facility is, you know, it may all be kind of covered under one PHA, or you may have several PHAs to cover the whole thing. And like I mentioned before, those are on a 5-year cycle. So make sure that you are not letting that slip. It's easy to do if you're new in the role and you weren't around for the last cycle. So check the dates of the last sessions for those and see how soon you need to do another revalidation or a redo. And then the audits are going to be on a 3-year cycle. So again, check the dates on your last reports and make sure that you are scheduling those within that time frame. And as part of those, you know, it's not enough to just have the PHA study sessions or to just pay for someone to come to your audit. You're definitely
you can't just file the report and put it away for 3 years or 5 years.
Oh, come on. I just put it on the shelf. It gathers dust.
Yes, right. So unless you are top of your field, you're really not going to have either of those events without any action items that come from those. So make sure that you are taking care of those during the rest of the cycle for those compliance activities and make sure that you're closing them, documenting them, make sure you're keeping up to date and not just, you know, reviewing them to push out the due dates or something like that. So make sure
or waiting until the month before the next audit mm-hmm. or the next PHA is due and looking at them saying, oh, we were supposed to have done something several years ago.
Right. Yes. And we see.
Oh, come on. Nobody ever does that.
Well, the CSB sees far too often that lots of times things that went wrong were directly related to a PHA action item that was supposed to be addressed years prior. Mm-hmm. So just don't forget to do your PHAs and audits, and then don't forget to also close out the action items that get generated from those.
Excellent point.
If we can hold to that resolution as an industry, I think that that would definitely help. Okay. And I am tasked with giving our last New Year's resolution for an incident-free 2024. And it just so happens to relate to what I kind of got up on my soapbox about earlier, which is learn what you can from incident investigations and near misses so you don't repeat past mistakes. This goes for not just your own facility, but if you can, use the mistakes and incident investigations from other facilities. And at the very minimum, you should be looking at any CSB report that has anything mm-hmm. to do with your industry at a very minimum. So if you can learn from your own incidents, near misses, and you know what, whether it was just a release of material and nothing happened. Oh, it didn't ignite, so we don't care about it. No. It could have ignited. And if it had ignited, it might have been catastrophic, right? So make sure that you learn from those incidents. Make sure that you are taking corrective actions and preventive actions. And again, I'll go back to the CSB. In fact, one of their recently released reports actually specifically recommended to OSHA that they implement some sort of a system so that companies can get safety alerts and then require them to actually determine, does the safety alert apply to me? And if it does, what do I need to do to address that issue to make sure that same thing doesn't happen here? Unless we really drive those things to root cause and then take action on those root cause, not just in the process where it happens, but any other process. And ideally, it's any other process in the world. If we don't do that, then we are not going to, as an industry, we're not going to get to where we need to be, and we're not going to protect people, and we're not going to be able to protect communities, and these things are going to keep happening. So for 2024, let's learn from our mistakes, learn from the mistakes of others, and manage our processes to use those preventive and corrective actions and make sure that these incidents don't happen. So those are our resolutions. Thanks, guys. I think that probably does it. So for those of you who are listening, thank you for listening. We do hope that you have gotten a lot out of the podcast, this podcast, of course, but also all the podcasts that we've done in 2023, as well as previous years. Please go back to our website or whatever, wherever you listen to your podcast. There's a whole backlog of episodes there with some great information. We actually are approaching, slowly but surely, approaching our 100th episode, which we are making plans now to make that an extra special event here at Amplify Your Process Safety. But in the meantime, I hope you'll join us in 2024 for more process safety content and valuable learning opportunities to improve your process safety. Always remember that you can follow us on LinkedIn or wherever you get your podcasts, that you can make sure that you have access to the latest episodes. And for Molly and for Joe, we wish you the very best holiday season here in 2023. And hope that your 2024 is successful, prosperous, and above all, safe. And as always, thank you for listening. And until next time, be safe out there.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.